Thank you so much, Pastor Chris, Pastor Cole, and for this wonderful church, for giving us a warm welcome, and just your hospitality has truly filled our hearts with joy, and it's been marvelous what the Lord has allowed us to experience during our circuit conferences here. Pardon me if I do stutter a little bit. We're not just built for this weather. In the Philippines, we only have two climates. I see a brother here. We only got two climates. It's hot and very hot. And ever since we got here, it's been cold and very cold. So I hope you do understand our situation. But me and my brother Silas have always said that anything that the Lord has allowed us to experience during this trip has always been a blessing. Sometimes we call it an adventure. We had several situations wherein it was challenging, but the Lord has just proven Himself to be good, to be gracious, to be faithful to us during this trip. So we call it as an adventure, not a problem, but we call it sometimes as challenges, and the Lord has always delivered us. So to God be the glory for that one. I'm Rudini Felicilda, serving the Lord in Talisay City, Cebu, Philippines, together with my wife Maricel and my two children, Aliyah and Albrin. Talisay is not really a big city per se, but it's more like a provincial town, but it's known for its income. That's why it's called the city. The first income earner of Talisay is dried fish. We have a big production of dried fish. I don't know if some of you have tasted dried fish. It tastes like beef jerky, only nastier. We also have big factories of noodles. So if you like ramen, bihon, canton, spaghetti, I don't know if some of you are Italians here. Maybe a lot of you think that spaghetti comes from Italy. Well, a lot of those spaghetti comes from Talisay. And lastly, which is unofficial, of course, but it is well known in Cebu, it is well known in our place, that Talisay is known for a big production and big distribution of meth. And whether there is production of meth and distribution of meth, crimes go up, gambling goes up, prostitution goes up, human trafficking goes up. And the most affected by these evils are our children, our youth. We have a population of 260,000, half of which are young people from ages 5 to 26. 5 to 26. You can see from those areas, and I believe also Pastor has seen that also in the place that where they were ministering during the time that he was there in Cebu, that you can see at an early age, nine-year-old boys already cigarette smoking, drinking booze. A lot of those young people, because of poverty, they get involved with the syndicates. In our place, in Talisay, nine-year-old boys are being used by the syndicates just to peddle drugs. And the Lord has laid a burden in our heart to just preach the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Because without the gospel of Jesus Christ, there will be no changed lives. It is only through Jesus Christ that they can have a new life. And that's why God has burdened us to continue in sharing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, to Talisay City. So please, include us in prayers. There's still a great work that must be done, not only in Talisay, but almost every country. There's a message that must be preached. So if you would turn your Bibles with me to the book of Acts chapter 1. It's a very familiar and common verse that a lot of times we hear in our pulpits. Book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And if you are there, please stand with me to give reverence to the reading of God's word tonight. The book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible tells us, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have kept us the entire day, whether we are at work, at school, at our homes, whatever we were doing. We know, Father God, that you were keeping us and you were taking care of us. We thank you, Father God, for your grace that is always sufficient towards your people. We thank you, O God, for knowing you as our Lord and Savior. What joy, what peace, what hope that we have in our life. And just being able to come tonight to worship, to glorify you, to joy and enjoy, Father God, your holy scriptures. It is a blessing to us, Lord. But may it be also tonight that you will remind us that there is millions of people that has yet to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. May you burden us, Father God, with the things that burden you. Allow us to see things that you see. When we look outside, we see, Father God, that there is truly a great harvest, but the laborers are still few. Move in our hearts. Speak to us, Father God, in a simple manner. Let the Holy Spirit be our teacher tonight. And I ask you, Father God, to hide me behind the cross because I am unworthy. It is your message, Father God, not mine. And allow it, Father God, that your word will have its way in our hearts tonight. We bless you and we thank you and we commit all these things to you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'd like to point just one word from what we have read tonight, and that is the word witnesses. The word witnesses carries the simple definition, the one who testifies of truth. A witness is someone who testifies of truth. And if that is the accurate definition of a witness, then all believers are to be witnesses for the name of Jesus Christ. If you are saved, if you are a believer, you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have received of the truth of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Therefore, all believers, all that are in Christ, are to be witnesses for the name of Christ. But let me tell you tonight that our time to be witnesses is slowly coming to an end. It will not always be like this. You know, we're blessed tonight. We can gather and talk about the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ. We can sing wonderful songs of praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can carry this Bible all over the place and no one would hinder us. We have this liberty today that we can probably come up to a person, share to them about Jesus Christ, give to them a gospel tract, and we'd be able to have that liberty in doing that. But let me tell you tonight that there are places in the world that would not allow us to gather like this. There are places tonight that would even hinder you from bringing the Word of God, from bringing the Bible. You cannot be able to distribute a single gospel tract. You cannot be able to come up to a person and share to them the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. There are even places today in the world that will forbid you from speaking about the name of Jesus Christ. In Georgia, several months ago, I met with a friend and he would usually help us with Bibles. And he would usually send around 10 boxes, 5 boxes. But he said, this time he said, "Brother, I'm sorry, I can only send 3 boxes of Bibles to you because there is someone in the government that is keeping tabs of those that are buying the King James Bible. Can you imagine that? Someone is keeping tabs of who's buying the King James Bible. Not all other translations, but specifically the King James Version Bible. You know, when we look at today, signs are appearing, prophecies are being fulfilled. We have wars and rumors of wars. We have pestilence, we have famines, we have earthquakes. We have false prophets, we have false Christ. You know, there's people today in the world that are claiming that they are the Son of God. Down in the Philippines, down in Davao, there is someone that is claiming that he is the Son of God. And because he's the Son of God, you know, people should worship him. People should follow him. People should, you know, give him their offerings. Give him money because he is the Son of God. And it's funny because this person who is claiming that he's the Son of God is under investigation right now for money laundering. It's funny right now because, you know, this person that is claiming that he's the Son of God, he is under investigation for having multiple partners. That's not the Jesus Christ that we know from the Bible, from the Word of God. The Bible tells us that iniquity shall abound. And if you're paying attention to what is happening all around us, you know that it is pointing to that blessed event that every believer, every Christian is looking forward to, and that is the coming back of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I'm excited about that day. I'm looking forward to that day. You know, in that day, we're going to leave all our troubles behind, all our sorrows behind, all our cares behind, all our sins behind. And I'm pretty sure that all of us here would probably, you know, we would not miss Satan when we go up to heaven. You know? We're looking forward to that day. But until that day comes, there is a mission that must be accomplished. There's a work that must be done. And because of this, we ought to make a decision right here, right now, to be sanctified for the Lord. And the commitment we need to make requires us to stand as Christians, to stand as witnesses. It requires us to make a decision to live for the name of Jesus Christ. You see, God wants us to live in such a way that it will point others to Jesus Christ. God wants us to live in such a way that it will guide others to the truth of Jesus Christ. You see, before others will listen to what we are trying to share to them, they're going to try to look at our lives and they're going to try to see if we're truly serious about Jesus Christ in our lives. You know, some people would say, why should I listen to that Filipino preacher when his life is worse than mine? Why should I listen to that Filipino preacher in what he's saying when I've seen him in some shady places? You see? You know, people that we know that are without Christ, a lot of them, they won't have the privilege, the opportunity of reading the Bible from cover to cover. Many of them would not be able to read from Genesis to Revelation in their entire lifetime. But let me tell you tonight, you can be Bibles to them. We can be Bibles to them. They will try to look at our lives. And by the way, whether we like it or not, if you're carrying the name of Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, you cannot say, don't look at me, look at pastor, look at those deacons, look at those faithful guys. No, you cannot do that. Whether you like it or not, people will look at you. People will look at you. People will look at me. And they will try to see if we're truly serious in living the Christian life. They're going to try to see if we're following that old right path that Jesus has set before us. We need to be billboards for the name of Jesus. We need to be billboards for the name of Christ. So billboards, I'm fascinated with billboards. Ever since we arrived January here in the United States, your country is a wonderful country, beautiful country. We landed over in Durham, North Carolina for the start of the conferences. So from North Carolina, we traveled to South Carolina. South Carolina, we went to Georgia. Georgia, Alabama. Alabama, Florida. Florida, up to, we went up again to North Carolina. Went to West Virginia, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, and here. So we did a little bit of traveling. We did a little bit of traveling. And, you know, if you're not driving, you're sleeping. If you're not sleeping, then you're sightseeing. And, you know, one of the sights that I have seen during this trip was those big billboards. Boy, you got lots of billboards. You know, you got billboards for balls. You got billboards for basketball games. You got billboards for burgers. You got billboards for Baptist churches. I mean, you even have billboards for billboards. It's amazing. You know, you got billboards for billboards. I remembered several years ago, 5 years ago, I was invited to speak in a missions conference out in Vietnam. Now, the trip to Vietnam coming from Cebu would sometimes reach about 8 hours. From Cebu, going to Manila, Manila to Singapore, Singapore to Vietnam. So it was a connecting flight. And a lot of us, we love traveling by plane for certain reasons. We love the convenience of it. We love looking at the scenery when we're riding the planes. We love the sensation that there's air underneath us. Well, not the turbulence, right? But just the sensation of, you know, being lifted up by air. And, you know, a lot of us would probably agree we like airlines because of their free meals. So I was there over my flight. I was riding my flight coming from Singapore going to Vietnam. And then I was seated on the right side of the plane. And then we were on that flight. And then I was looking at the wing. And then the wing was shaking really violently. And I said, uh-oh, that's not good. And then all of a sudden the PA sounded. It was the captain. And he made an announcement and said, please fasten your seatbelts. We need to do a turnaround flight because there's a problem with the flaps of the wing. Oh, yeah. And the 8-hour flight became a 13-hour flight going back. Going back. I said, whatever, just as long as they give me my free meals. So at breakfast, they served those hot rolls with butter with noodles. Lunchtime, they served those freshly baked buttery vegetables, so good, so nice, with noodles. They serve snacks, 3 p.m. They serve those hot, soft croissants, French croissants, with noodles. So you know where I'm getting at, right? I'm concerned about dinner. You know, I'm concerned about dinner. So I asked one of the flight stewardess, and in the most politest way that I can, ma'am, can I please ask what's on the menu for tonight? And she said, sir, I'd like to tell you we're going to have hot chicken tonight. Yes. I said, hot chicken. Yes, sir, we're going to have hot chicken flavored noodles tonight. I can't believe it. It was an entire day of noodles. It was an entire day of noodles. So when the pilot was already in the PA and he was announcing, please fasten your seatbelts. We're about to land in Changi Airport in Singapore, we'll be there shortly. The first thing that I saw over that window was that big McDonald's billboard. And I said, yes, Lord, please land this plane and let me get my double cheeseburger and I'll be good. Well, I'm not really interested in billboards per se, but there's interesting parallels between a billboard and a Christian that I would like to point out tonight. So let me title this message, Billboard Christians. Billboard Christians. Number one, a billboard is unashamed. A billboard is unashamed. You see those billboards? They stand there unabashed, unashamed, bold-faced in what they say. You know, Pepsi, the choice of the new generation. Nike, just do it. Adidas, anything is possible. You know, I read from the Bible, and the Bible tells us, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. But I guess with Adidas, it's also possible. You know, it's a little bit blasphemous, but They say it. They're not ashamed of it. And they're not ashamed of what they proclaim. And as Christians, like billboards, we must also be unashamed. You know, we must talk it unashamed. We must live it unashamed. We must share it unashamed. But there's so many believers today that are ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, let's not be embarrassed. We should not be embarrassed in proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. We should be embarrassed if we're not proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. You know, there's some believers today that are even ashamed of praying first before they eat in public. You know what they do? They try to look over their shoulders first, try to see if no one's looking. You know, and if the coast is clear, they do like this. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Amen. Because they're so ashamed to do that. You know, one time I was in a church and I saw a young guy, you know, I guess he was ashamed of bringing his Bible. So what he did, he folded his Bible in half and he shoved it at the back pocket of his jeans. And I told him frankly, brother, that's not the way how you carry the word of God. But there's so many people today in this world doing evil things, doing wicked things, doing perverse things, doing wrong things, but they're not ashamed of it. Do you know what they do? They put it in social media. They put it in Facebook. They put it in YouTube. They put it in Instagram. They put it in Twitter. They put it in TV. Some of them, they make parades. They're not ashamed of it, but let me tell you, there were so many opportunities for us to have been able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But instead of faith, we allow fear to reign in our hearts and we just leave it. We shy away from it. The Bible is filled with verses in this wonderful book that tells us that we should not be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 8, verse 38, the Bible says, The Bible tells us, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Let's not be ashamed of the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we're so blessed tonight. We can come, we can sing praises to him, we can worship, we can fellowship together. But let me tell you, none of us would be here tonight without the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16, what does the Bible say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, when you start following God, when you put God as priority in your life, When you start making him the one that is truly in control of your life, let me tell you, you will suffer. Many people, because they stood up for the name of Jesus Christ, they suffered for the name of Christ. You know, some of your friends will come and they will ostracize you. They will make fun of you. They will mock you. Your families will turn around, turn their backs on you. I've seen that. In the Philippines, we're 80% predominantly Catholic, and that's from generation to generation. That's tradition. From tradition coming from the Spaniards, you know, having their colony in us for 300 years, they brought about Catholicism, and that is introduced to us, and that is introduced from ancestors to generation to generation to generation. And they have that mentality that what we're born with, we die with. And when someone accepts Christ and turns to Christianity, what happens is that their family will feel betrayed. Why do you go against our traditions? Why you go against our family? So they reject him. They turn their back on him. And it's now the time for the church to become the second family of this person who got saved. But they suffer. They suffer as Christians. But the Bible tells us, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. but let him glorify God on this behalf. You know, a billboard unashamedly seeks to call to attention to its product. It makes its product known. It advertises. It endorses. I've seen those slogans in the billboards. 100% satisfaction. All stains gone. I seen one billboard of a burger joint, and then it says there, one burger enough for 1 week. Can you imagine how much savings you can have just having one burger a week, and you're already satisfied for 1 week? They got those laundry detergents there. All stains gone. Do you know why they say that? Because they're pretty sure about their products. They are sold out for their products. Believers, Christians, we are to be sold out for Jesus Christ. A billboard is unashamed. Not only a billboard is unashamed, but a billboard speaks for its owner. A billboard speaks for its owner. I have never seen a billboard of Toyota advertising for Mitsubishi. I have never seen a billboard of McDonald's advertising for Burger King. I have never seen a billboard of Costco advertising for Sam's Club. You know, when you look at the billboard, you don't have to guess who's the owner of this billboard. Immediately you know who's the owner of that billboard. Christians, speak for your owner. And your owner is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, what does the Bible say? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, this life is not our own anymore. When you are saved, the one who owns you, the one that has the right to you, is Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible tells us, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know when we get into trouble? We get into trouble when we start assimilating the ownership of our lives. There's believers today that, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord, that I have a wonderful home in heaven in eternity. But I got this right now. If we start doing that, that's the time when we get into trouble. I will tell you, the Lord bought us not with dollars, not with pesos, not with silver and gold. You know, in the world, they put a high premium, a high value on silver and gold. But let me tell you, there is something more valuable than silver and gold, and that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that ye were bought with a price. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our message about Jesus in our life must be clear. When people look at you, when people look at me, do they see Christ? Or do they see someone else? Are they confused or are they convicted when they look at us? You know, there's people today that wear a different mask when they come to church, and they have a different mask when they are outside church. There's people today that would like to walk one foot in the word, one foot in the world. And that's why when they walk weird. You know, they walk weird. That looks good if you're a penguin. You'd look cute if you're a penguin, but you're not a penguin. You are the chosen people of God. And that's why the Bible tells us, walk straight with Jesus Christ. Speak accurately in your life the message of the one who bought you. And thirdly and lastly, a billboard stands in all sorts of weather. A billboard stands in all sorts of weather. I have never seen a billboard carry an umbrella. It's been raining all day, but I have never seen a billboard carry an umbrella. I have never seen a billboard wear a coat. I mean, we've been snowed in New Hampshire, several foot of snow. but I've never seen a billboard wear a coat. I have never seen a billboard run for shade, even in the Philippines, right, Pastor? No, I have never seen a billboard run for shade. Rain or shine, it won't look for shelter. It won't, the billboard will just stand there. The billboard will just stand. Only the most severe of winds can blow it over. And the Christian ought to stand for Jesus Christ, rain or shine. In good or bad weather, and if perchance we fall, there is someone who will pick us up again. You know, it's so easy for us to praise God, to give God the glory when everything is going our way. We say, Lord, hallelujah, praise God. Thank you so much for being so good. We can say that when we have a good work, when we have good income, when we put our hands into our pockets and we discover that there's bills there, and then we are at the best of our health, we can say, hallelujah, praise God. Thank you, Lord. But you know what? When's the best time to also praise God? The best time to praise God is when not everything is going your way. You don't have work. Not everything is going as planned. When you shove your hands into your pockets and instead of discovering bills there, you discover that there's a hole in your pocket. You're lying there, lying somewhere in a hospital because you're not in the best of health and you can't control what's happening in your body. And then you say, Lord, thank you. I praise you. You're such a good and marvelous God. That's the best time to give God the glory. Satan may try to defeat you. He may put shame, put doubt, put fear, even discourage you from God's purpose and God's calling in your life. But listen to what the Bible says in John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Trials and tribulation may try to undermine us. I remember my father saying to me, the only people that will not face tribulations and trials are the people that are living in the grave. Yeah. At least they're done for their trials and tribulation for this life. But as long as we are living in this cursed world, this fallen world, we're going to face trials and tribulations. But the Bible and Jesus Christ assures us in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Failure in our lives may try to make us fall. I have lost count how many times I have failed my God. But it is never final when you fail. It's never final when you fail. By the grace of God, let us stand up again. Let us try again. God only requires us to be faithful to Him. You know, I'm so glad that my salvation is not up to me. I don't have to be the one to sustain my Christian life. I thank the Lord that I don't have to keep my salvation. You know, we were blessed one week ago. The church put us up in a hotel for several days. I think 5 days. I'm not sure. I forgot. But during those 5 days, I've lost my keys a dozen times. I kid you not. I've lost my keys a dozen times. How much more if I have to be the one to keep my salvation? For this week, I would have probably lost my salvation more times than I've lost my keys. But thanks be to God that it is God. Jesus Christ is the one that's keeping my salvation. He is the one sustaining me. Amen. Jude 24:25, the Bible says, and now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, to present you faultless before his presence, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let me close with this story. In the 1900s, the word of God was being preached over not only to the Western world, but also it was being brought to the Eastern countries. The gospel was being preached, Bibles were being distributed, and it came to the point that it arrived in the shores of China. the wonderful word of God was being accepted over there. People were getting saved. Hearts were turning to Jesus Christ. And the word of God was being preached. But there arose a great rebellion against all Western influence, including Christianity. And they called it the Boxer Rebellion of 1900s. These rebels, armed with pitchforks, armed with swords, armed with knives, they would go from institution to institution trying to make those people denounce their faith or they're going to die. And during that time, during that rebellion, tens of thousands of believers died. Tens of thousands of believers died because they would not denounce their faith. At one point, they came to a church school and that rebel leader was bringing a makeshift wooden cross and he placed it in front of that gate of that church school and in a loud voice, he raised his sword and said, whoever will come out and spit on this cross, you will be spared and you will be allowed to go home. One by one, they came out. One by one, they lined up and spat on the cross. A 60-year-old man, he came out, he spat on the cross, he was spared, he was allowed to go home. Two men came out in their 40s, they came, they spat on the cross, they were spared, they were allowed to go home. And then all of a sudden, the doors of the church school swung open, and out came an 8-year-old little girl. Steadily she walked, her eyes fixed on the cross, nothing wavering. She walked so sure of what she's going to do. The rebel leader was thinking this little girl would probably spit on this cross because she would want to spare her life. But when that little girl arrived at the foot of the cross, instead of spitting on that cross, she knelt down and she hugged that cross so tight that she had no tomorrow. And with tears rolling down her eyes, she said, I will never spit on the cross where my Jesus died for my sins. Right there and then, she was beheaded. But what she did emboldened 82 to come out of the church school and make a stand for the name of Jesus Christ. You see, that little girl was a billboard for the name of Jesus. She was not ashamed. She spoke for her owner. And she stood for the Lord in the worst weather. The same calling is what we have today, that we are to be billboards for the name of Jesus Christ, that we are to guide others to the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes we think that a mission field is somewhere in Africa, somewhere in Asia, somewhere in a remote village, somewhere in a jungle. But the definition of a mission field is any person who has not yet have Jesus Christ in their heart as their Lord and Savior. And if that is true, then there's a mission field across the street. There's a mission field in our schools. There's a mission field in our workplaces. And just maybe, there's a mission field in our homes. Will you be that billboard that God will use to direct others to the truth of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for tonight. I pray, Father God, that you will talk to us in a simple way. Let your word and the Holy Spirit have its way in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name.